please be seated. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. This is a true story told unto me with permission to share. Came from a conversation about what does it mean to hunger and to thirst for righteousness. And was shared about two men who went out sailing one day and learned about thirst. It was supposed to be just a quick, let's go out about an hour, try out, I think it was even to try out a new sail, but let's work on our methods together. Got a slot in the afternoon, let's go ahead and do this. And imagine a lake even bigger than Lake Ray Hubbard, but that may give you a good reference. So out they go and did the practicing back and forth, and further out they went, and then the wind died. Now, I've been across Lake Ray Hubbard, and I go, wow, there is so much wind out here because the Texas Plains. This was back east where there are hills and there's seasons of the day, and they just really hadn't calculated that the doldrums that would come in that later in that afternoon. And they are out there on the lake. And because it was going to be a kind of a quick hour or two, they had not brought many provisions. I mean, they had the life jackets just in case, but no provisions. And it got hotter, and the water stayed still. And it took a lot of skill to harness whatever little breeze could be found to get the boat inch by inch back to shore. And the sun got hotter, and the provisions were long gone. And finally, they took turns scooping water out of the lake to drink. Now, how many of you all would go to Lake Ray Hubbard or Lake Levan and just take your thing and just scoop it out there and drink it? Okay? But they said we were that thirsty. I don't know if it really, strictly speaking, met the definition of relieved their thirst because they knew what they were drinking, but it was good enough. All right, and he said that was an example of thirst that they had. Some of us, maybe during the day, know what it's like to be hungry when a meal is coming up. Maybe you have breakfast early in the day, but you're going to have lunch at the regular time, about 11 o'clock. You get a feeling a little on the hungry side. Now, I don't think I've ever been known to purposely skip a lunch, unless I'd had a very big breakfast. And actually, that's happened a couple of times. I was at a place, huge breakfast. I could just nibble through lunch. But I've never worked through my lunch hour. I've somehow worked lunch into it. But maybe you've known what it's like right before that meal. Now, I have purposely fasted before, and so definitely glad when that fast is over and able to break the fast at whatever point. Maybe you've done that with some youth, that 30-hour fast fundraisers that they have done in the past, but really have never known hunger. And for many of us now, many do go without in America. Then there is food scarcity. We learned that at Tango Tab yesterday, that the amount of hunger and food scarcity in the Dallas-Fort Worth area is much more than one would think. But I'm going to say for those of us, if you've got your story, tell me, but really hungry, have not known. But for those who first heard this, and Jesus is speaking to them, it would have made perfect sense. These were people who had been out and had worked hours in the day. And it's, living day by day and what they could survive. And it gets hot. I remember, 4 years ago, almost now 4 years ago, being there in the Holy Land and being down by the Dead Sea, which is the lowest point in the world. And they got a little space there, and believe it or not, a resort of sorts for folks who want to stay over at the hotel. And they've even got a bar there. It says the lowest bar in the world. I think a college town had one of those. But anyway, all of that, been in the Dead Sea. You get in, you sit down, you sit back into it, and it floated and then washed off, and it is hot down there. And then we'd gotten back and we'd eaten in Jericho, and we had the bus ride up to Jerusalem. And literally, you're going up, and actually, whatever direction you actually go up to Jerusalem, but definitely going up to sea level and then beyond that. So hot that afternoon, wearing a light jacket that night in Jerusalem. But being on the bus, being cautious about what I would drink at lunch, I didn't have that much to drink, and I remember just feeling so drained on the bus and wishing I'd had that extra water during the meal. But that's exactly what they would have experienced, being out in the hot. And so when it was thirsty, they were thirsty. And when they were hungry and ready to eat if they were lucky enough to have a meal. So when Jesus spoke about hunger and thirst, he knew that for them, it was about life and death. Not an inconvenience. Not a, can I make it 30 more minutes before lunch is served? Because you see, when hunger and thirst come to mind, they are all you think about. It can become obsessive and can dominate a person. I think back to this from it was a humorous scene in a movie where the person, again, was hungry. And you've got this very proper British couple hosting someone. He's a Canadian, not a bad guy, but definitely rough around the edges, hosting him to tea. And they're having this very proper conversation. And, oh, we've gotten this latest update newspaper. And here's an interesting article. And, oh, this mentions somebody I knew in school and all of that. And that fellow there, his stomach is growling. And he's like, I'm sorry, I just can't help it. And it's just dominated him. Of course, they are being very proper and British. They ignore it and continue to discuss the weather as everything is laid out. But when you're there, it can dominate you. And Jesus says that the blessed life begins when the soul feels that same hunger. Not for food, but for righteousness. The blessed life begins the moment we want righteousness more than we want comfort, more than we want food and drink. So what is righteousness? And there are really two ways of looking at it. I think both are important. You need the vertical and the horizontal. So the vertical righteousness is about right living before our Lord. Integrity, holiness, moral alignment with God's will. But there's also that horizontal moral alignment with the world. Right relationships, fairness in dealings, mercy given when needed, working to repair that which is broken. Righteousness is life the way God meant it to be. Our hearts, our choices, our relationships, our society. My heart, my choices, my relationships, my immediate society. Family, community, world. All set right as God intended. It involves personal character and social goodness. And Jesus chooses the basic human drives of hunger and thirst to bring home the point. You cannot ignore them. They interrupt everything. Just like that man with a British, Canadian man with a British couple and his stomach growling. Now, interesting observation an individual made and said that most of us do not reject righteousness. We're just not hungry for it. See, the real danger is the lost appetite. The soul is not always rebellious as much as it is indifferent. And we've looked at a sort of odd contrast over these last several Beatitudes that really is not rebellion often as much as it is indifference. We're not hostile to righteousness. Just not hungry enough. Too many distractions or entertainment or compromise. Illness can challenge and even destroy physical health. Sin can challenge and even destroy the spirit. See, Jesus can work with a hungry heart, but a numb heart, that would take some effort. And it's interesting to point out that Jesus does not say, blessed are those who have achieved righteousness, those who have arrived, those who got it. Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger for it, those who thirst for it. Jesus does not mock hunger, because hunger means that the heart is alive. Jesus does not mock hunger. Jesus seeks to satisfy it. Not instantly, and maybe not in the ways that we wish, but Jesus can satisfy as we pursue him and his purposes. This is the fourth of the Beatitudes at which we have been looking during Lent, and these first four have been called the Beatitudes of Needs. The poor in spirit to say, I need God. There's an internal need, the poverty of spirit there, but then also those in the world who all they got is Jesus. Blessed are those who mourn, who are experiencing a loss and who see brokenness in the world and are grieved over that. Blessed are the meek, those who surrender control, who say, I can fix it. No, I'm trusting God in this process. Those who realize it's a larger world that I cannot control. Lord, how will I be used in the midst of it? And then hunger and thirst for righteousness. At that point, saying, I want what Jesus wants. Thinking of application, just think of looking at our lives and what is lacking, doing a vertical and a horizontal analysis. I can make quite a list given some time. But I would always say my case would be just focus on one, maybe two at the time. Is there a way of responding? I'll make a shameless plug for ladies who love the Lord. Shoes for the children at Buckner's. Something that they need. That is bringing righteousness to the world, providing in that case. Or maybe there is a character flaw to address or a relationship to repair. Going over my last-minute review, not preparation, but review of the message, something came to my mind, so I've got to go ahead and put it out there. This is somebody back east, so don't do a roll call of Texas, but someone back east, but someone that I'm acquainted, and I think I need to make an effort to say, you know, that disagreement of several years ago, I want to speak to it. I did not respond well. We don't have 2 hours to get the whole story, okay? Let's just say I did not respond to it well. And it's one of those, because not knowing the person that well, you could just easily let it slide. Goodness knows I've let it slide for many years. But no, I've just been pricked in my conscience that I need to address that with the person. No matter how odd the letter may be when that person receives it, but need to address that. So maybe there's something like that. And maybe it's saying at this moment, Lord, I'm numb. I am just numb. I don't even know that for which I would hunger and thirst in terms of righteousness. Because the danger is the numb heart. It's not the rebellious heart as much as it is the indifferent heart. And maybe it's just saying, Lord, just show me. Nothing's coming to mind, and that's what bothers me. You need to show me where to respond. This is a time to say, here I am, Lord, and here we are. We are hungry, and we are thirsty. Show us the way. Where do we go next? In Jesus' name, amen.